This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song, sound forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires all have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee. Health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved thee. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief? Rings of His mercy did shade thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of His mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for they we adore Him.
Be in peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ancient patriarch Abraham occupies a central place in the history of salvation. God supernaturally chose this childless, elderly man to father a nation through whom the Messiah would arrive to bless the entire world. And against all human odds, Abraham believed God's incredible promise that his barren wife would give birth to a son in their old age. So Abraham's faith serves as a model of trusting God's word above all the tangible dark circumstances that sometimes surround us. Today, millions upon millions of Jews, Christians, and Muslims all claim Abraham as being the founding father of their faith. Biblical genealogies connect Abraham with Jesus to establish Jesus' credentials as the long-awaited Messiah. And though Abraham was a deeply flawed sinner, just like the rest of us, he provides an inspirational example of stepping out in faith when God calls us to unknown paths. The Apostle Paul uplifts Abraham as the preeminent example of righteousness by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Abraham's story also holds relevance for contemporary believers confronting a culture increasingly hostile to the Christian faith. As moral relativism and secular humanism tighten their grip on the mind of our culture. Adhering to God's eternal truths requires a degree of spiritual courage. It takes courage in this day and age to be a Christian. Abraham's costly obedience reminds us that radical faith often provokes skepticism and even hostility from the surrounding society. But his patient trust in God's timing speaks powerfully to the demands of our instant gratification now culture. Abraham inspires perseverance through prolonged silence, years from heaven. And sometimes is it not true that waiting for the Lord in silence sometimes is the most difficult thing to do? Everyone here knows the basic story. God made a covenant with Abraham to bless all nations through his offspring, even though Abraham and Sarah were elderly. When he was 75 years old, the Lord called him from his homeland in Haran to go to the land of Canaan. And God took Abraham, you remember his father Terah, we were told in Joshua, was an idol maker. There was no saving faith in his family. It was purely election by grace alone. God went to Abraham, who did not know God, to Abram, and says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you abundantly, not for your sake, but for my sake. I'm going to make your name great. And I'm going to make you a blessing to every family on the face of the earth. Remarkably, Abram believed God's promises, even though his wife was barren and they were both old. There was no visible means by which God's promise could be fulfilled. But Abram, we are told, still trusted the Almighty's faithfulness and power, and he took God at his word. And the book of Habakkuk says that when he did that, God by faith credited it to him as saving righteousness. So God told him to depart Haran when he was 75. Abram is now 99 years old. The Lord appeared again and formally established his covenant with him. And God changed Abram's name to Abraham, from father to father of great or many nations. He swore to give him descendants in a land called Canaan as their inheritance. God also instituted circumcision as a sign of his covenant, just as later circumcision would be replaced by baptism. So Abraham obeyed God again in faith, not according to the works of the law, but by faith, circumcising all of the males of his household and giving them the covenant seal. Though impossible by human standards, within 1 year of God appearing to Abraham, his wife Sarah miraculously conceived and gave birth to Isaac when Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham fathered Jacob. Jacob became the father of 12 sons who founded the 12 tribes of Israel. And from this very strange and unlikely beginning, God providentially nurtured the growth of a nation that he swore to build from Abraham's offspring. Despite their old age, God demonstrated his awesome power and his commitment to fulfill his word and to fulfill his covenant against all odds. The conception and the birth of Isaac, the child of promise, powerfully validated that God does indeed keep his word. Abraham's faith in embracing God's incredible promises was the key, we are told, to him receiving all this large amount of divine blessing. As the Apostle Paul will later explain in Romans 4, no unbelief, he says, made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced, that's saving faith, fully convinced that God was able to do everything that he has promised. That's the gospel, trusting the promises of God through Christ. As you know, although Abraham is honored as the father of God's people, unlike other religions with their written manuscripts and sacred scriptures who depict their heroes as being either extremely flawed or no flaws at all, the Bible gives us a realistic picture of everyone it depicts, including Abraham. And Abraham was far from perfect. Scripture honestly records the moral and the spiritual failings of the patriarch. And there are a number of examples. When Abraham went to Egypt, he very cowardly told his wife to say that she was his sister rather than his wife, fearing the Egyptians might kill him to take Sarah. This deceitful half-truth had unintended consequences, as lies normally do, and it nearly compromised Sarah's honor as Abraham's wife when Pharaoh almost took her as a wife to marry her. Later, Sarah did not trust God's timing in providing an heir, and so she influenced Abraham to have a child with her maid, Hagar. It was a very common practice at the time, but one that was frowned upon by God. So Ishmael was born contrary to God's covenant, creating generational conflict between the Israelites and the Arab nations who claim Ishmael as being their father. On several occasions, Abraham genuinely doubted God's power, and he tried to bargain for lesser judgments against sin. You remember that when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, Abraham pleaded for God to spare the city if God could find 50 righteous people who lived there. You remember this long bartering goes back and forth, all the way down to 10 righteous persons as the minimal benchmark. By doing this and debating with God, Abraham displayed at this point a weak faith in the justice of God, how God always does things right. And although the Lord mercifully spared his nephew Lot with his daughters, Abraham's intercession did not prevent the city's destruction or the destruction of Lot's wife. Overall, as well, the Genesis account depicts the patriarch as having occasional tendencies to lie, to doubt God, to question the will of God, and on occasion to attempt to fulfill God's promises using human means. Unfortunately, Abraham passed these spiritual flaws to his descendants, just as you inherited your parents and you're going to be passing on your flaws to your children. The Pharisees of Jesus' day, they boasted at being Abraham's children, but yet they were in constant opposition to Jesus. But Jesus declared in John 8:39, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the good works Abraham did. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." Yes, they may have been Abraham's children in terms of having some type of genetic DNA connection. By faith, they were as far removed from Abraham, Jesus says, as you could possibly be. And so clearly, the Bible depicts our father in the faith as being a fallen sinner, unable to earn righteousness by good deeds. Yet God graciously granted him righteousness on the basis of faith alone. Romans 4:3 says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." The conception of Isaac vindicated God's faithfulness in his covenant. Isaac grew up, as I mentioned, a father Jacob, later named Israel, who was the father of the 12 tribes. And from these unlikely beginnings emerged a nation that God would indeed have scattered throughout the earth to bless all people. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. As Matthew chapter 1 and Luke emphasizes, Jesus is the descendant, it says, first of David, then of Abraham, validating his messianic credentials. And so Jesus embodied the completion of God's covenant with Abraham in a number of ways, but some of the most important ones are, first, Jesus perfectly fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law that Abraham could never achieve due to the weakness of the flesh. That includes both the passive obedience of Jesus, his perfect death on the cross, and the active obedience of Jesus, him living a sinless life that you and I could never live, but that is now credited by God to our account. Secondly, Christ's sinless life and substitutionary atonement accomplished the work of salvation that Abram's works never could. Third, Jesus fulfilled this promise of worldwide blessing, extending the covenant far past Abraham's physical descendants to all nations, tribes, people groups, individuals, everyone who embraces him by faith alone. Fourth, Jesus represented the promised seed. You remember all the way back to Genesis 3:15 and 16, after our first parents fell. God promised he would raise up a seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent, sin and death, and that, of course, is Jesus. And fifthly, and perhaps in some way most climactically, Christ's resurrection delivered the hope of eternal life in God's presence that Old Testament-like saints like Abraham so eagerly anticipated. And through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus consummated God's promises to Abraham as both the divine Son of God and the human son of Abraham and David. Jesus perfectly accomplished God's redemptive plan concealed within God's covenant. And though Abram's faith was imperfect, God still graciously used him to fulfill all of the promises he made. In Christ, the covenant with Abraham reached its full expansion and expression and completion that we see even today. Like Abraham, you and I too walk by faith in the promises of God. You and I are looking forward not to some physical land of Canaan. We're looking to something far greater. We're looking to an eternal promised land. And on this earthly pilgrimage, we will often face unknown paths and dangers that threaten our faith. However, you and I can have bold confidence that God's hand will continue to guide us into his heavenly kingdom. Abraham obeyed God's call to leave his home for an unknown destination, having no idea where God was leading him. Similarly, you and I will depart this fallen world to embark on our journey to the celestial promised land flowing with milk and honey. Our eternal destination, like Abram's, remains unseen. But yet you're here tonight because you walk confidently by faith and not by sight. As Abram trusted God's promises of offspring when circumstances seemed impossible, you and I cling to God's promise of salvation despite all of the earthly trials and occasional heartache that weighs us down. You and I are sinners, and in this life, we will struggle with sin, with doubt, with pain, and with uncertainty. Like Abraham, we waver concerning God's promises when confronted by the unbelief of human logic and outward appearances. But yet, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit continues to strengthen our faith whenever we gather before his word and sacrament, and it assures us that God loves us and the final victory is going to be shared with us. The author of Hebrews 11 put it this way. He said, "We persevere as strangers and exiles on earth, looking forward to a better country that is a heavenly one." By faith in Christ, Abraham and all the Old Testament saints gained approval from God, who now dwell with him. They courageously confess what we're told in Hebrews 11. They were strangers and exiles on the earth. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call himself to be their God, for he has prepared them for his city. Through faith in Jesus, we join Abraham and the saints in welcoming God's eternal blessings. As God's people, you and I should take comfort that even in great saints like Father Abraham, he struggled with sin and doubt just as we do. But yet, due to his faith in Christ, Abraham believed God and he was justified, just like you and I are. We have to remember that in Abraham's day, God's people were not a mighty army. They were a small, fragile family that was almost annihilated through intermarriage with the Canaanites, but yet trusting in God's covenant for survival. Today, millions of Abraham's descendants worldwide trust these same promises fulfilled in Jesus. One of the things we learn here is when we face what seems to be impossible, we should stand back and recall how God worked impossible promises through Abraham's weakness. And this is an important lesson that some people never learn. If God wants to get something done through you, he will equip you to do it against all odds. It's that simple. If God is calling you to do something, he never calls you to do something that he is not willing to equip you for. Last week, we considered Jesus, the son of David. This evening, we meditated upon Jesus, the son of Abraham. But in the upcoming weeks, we will consider how Jesus was the son of scandal. In his holy name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Found in Satan's chains.
ancient state, before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me, O Father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. God said to his beloved Son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free, slay bitter death for them that they may live with you forever.
The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born of Virgin Mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal part disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive.
To me he said, stay close to me, I am
Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.